The Brentano String Quartet has for some years now had a special relationship with Houston's Decamera Society, but the ensemble's performance tonight at Rice University is part of this year's Houston Friends of Music Chamber Music Recital Series. The Brentanos will play for the first time in Southeast Texas Night Songs for a Desert Flower, a new work written expressly for them by American composer Stephen Hartke. They'll also perform the second of the three string quartets by one of this year's bicentennial composers, Robert Schumann, and then with the assistance of Shepherd School of Music violist James Dunham, the string quintet number 2 by Felix Mendelssohn, whose 200th birthday was celebrated last year. KUHF's Catherine Liu spoke with the Brentano String Quartet's two violinists, Mark Steinberg and Serena Cannon.
Serena Cannon and Mark Steinberg, welcome back to Houston. Welcome to the front row.
Thanks so
much. Thank you.
A little bit about the group's name, to start off.
We're named after a woman named Antonia Brentano, and I always answer this question because it was my husband who thought of our name. But Antonia Brentano was a friend and patron of Beethoven's, and the biographer Maynard Solomon wrote a Beethoven biography and suspects that she was the immortal beloved, this woman to whom he wrote a love confession. And no one really knows whether it was Antonia Brentano, but we liked the connection to Beethoven, and she's part of a famous family. Her brother-in-law, I believe, Clemens Brentano, was a famous poet, and we just enjoyed the connection to Beethoven because Beethoven's works are so central to our repertoire.
Yeah, master of the string quartet, among Absolutely. Other things. And yeah, I love that. Also named after a woman with ties to classical music.
That's right.
You guys still seem, you look young, but have really been together for almost 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're planning our 20th anniversary now. It's just loads of plastic surgery is why we look this
way. Botox. So what is it like to play together now as opposed to, like 1995, I believe the first time you were on the Houston Friends of Chamber Music series? Have you grown together? For example,
have we grown together?
How
have we grown together?
Yes.
That's a really hard question to answer because you know what? You should ask our audiences. I think because it's the same thing as when I think you have a child and your child grows every day, and then someone who hasn't seen the child in a while says, "Oh, they've really grown." And you say, "Oh, really?" Because you've seen them every day,
right?
And it's a question of daily work for us. We've come to feel very close with each other, very dependent on each other in all sorts of ways, and to have a certain expressive vocabulary which is ours and which we're trying also always to expand.
Mm-hmm. You've garnered a lot of praise, a lot of awards. You've been called passionate, uninhibited, and spellbinding. I don't think anybody actually sits down and says, I'm going to be spellbinding and passionate and uninhibited. Or maybe you do, but so what does that mean for you all in terms of what leads to that kind of playing for you all?
It's sort of a paradox with string quartets that we rehearse so much. We have to rehearse probably more than many ensembles, especially an ensemble with like piano and strings, just because we all do the same thing. We all have to coordinate our bows and use exactly the same kind of stroke, and it's rather a fussy thing. So we work quite hard to become one and really match each other. But the goal of that at the same time is, not to pre-program everything and just make it perfect and freeze, mm-hmm. but to actually get to the point where we're free to express the music. And
all of that fussiness actually allows you ultimately to loosen up.
Well, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we achieve that. Maybe on that night we did, but doesn't mean it necessarily happens every night, but that's the goal anyway. Mm-hmm.
I would also add to that, I think it's there's nothing specific that we're going for in terms of our musical voice other than illuminating the piece that we're playing. So we're not deciding to sound a certain way. We're trying to decide what the music is and how we can best bring that to life in the way that we understand it. So if something is spellbinding, we hope it's the piece that we're playing and that we can rise to the occasion for that piece at that moment.
So shedding light and sharing your love of this program tonight here in Houston, which is Mendelssohn, Schumann, and Stephen Hartke. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those pieces. Schumann, I read, compared the string quartet as a form to like a conversation among four people. Does that quality, that conversational quality, come out in his string quartet writing and in this particular second string quartet?
I think it does in places. I would say with his music a little less than with some other composers. I mean, that is a typical thing to say about quartets.
Right.
And it is the essence of what we do is that it is exactly that, a conversational kind of thing. But that having been said, I think that this particular work is, it has pianistic attributes and it really is highly textured music.
It's quite tricky to play the Schumann, we found, because you know, you have four people in a string quartet where on the piano, a whole person might take the place of, you know, the pinky on a pianist's hands. So it's a little tricky to kind of become that pinky and make yourself, you know, really wedded to the melody. It's kind of an original way to write. I can't think of another composer that really uses the quartet quite that way.
So what is the beauty of that? How does that translate into this second string quartet? Can you describe a little bit of this work and what you guys love about it?
Well, I'm a real Schumann fan. So, I mean, I love many, many Schumann pieces. They all have a certain, passion. And there's a feeling of great love and tenderness. And, like, he's really wearing his emotions on his sleeve. Mm. He's always sort of just a step away from madness, I feel like. All things are shifted off the beat, and you can tell that his emotional state was, you know, he's not super grounded.
Is it useful to know when he wrote it or what he was going through at this
particular
time?
Yeah, he wrote the quartets all in a bunch, and it was at a time when he was very much in love with Clara, who was to be his wife. Now, I'm not too clear on the historical details. I don't know if they were married yet, but it was when it was seemed like it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he was full of, the third quartet has a famous Clara descending fifth that's supposed to be her name. But this one also seems very much about love and enthusiasm and the kind of, you know, excitement that you feel with a budding romance.
What kind of energy does the Mendelssohn have, the Mendelssohn second string quintet that you're doing? How does its energy compare to, like, the energy of the Schumann that we've been talking about?
It's a very, very different kind of work. The energy of the Mendelssohn is really an energy of extremes, I would say. The outer movements are incredibly brilliant, virtuosic, exciting.
You know, what's funny is that I was listening to it on my way into work, and I actually felt myself driving faster.
Mendelssohn's a fast guy.
This is a very high-octane piece.
It is. But at the same time, it's got one of the most devastating slow movements around. I mean, it's incredibly profound, deep, and very dark slow movement, which is, I think, incredibly affecting. And then, of course, Mendelssohn's the master of the scherzo in terms of lightness. And this is an interesting scherzo movement in that it's not a fast scherzo movement. It's something very much on the cusp, slightly wistful, but still kind of feather light and beautiful.
What a gorgeous voice Mendelssohn has.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, this brings us to, and this may not necessarily be the order of the program, but in our conversation here, a contemporary work, actually. You guys pride yourself not only on mastering standard rap, but also new work as well. And this is a commission from Stephen Hartke.
Yes, this is something we've been trying to get for years and years. Stephen Harkey is a composer whose music we enjoyed very much and admired, and he had never written a string quartet, and so we're very excited that he finally wrote his first string quartet and that it's for us and that we get to play it all over.
And it's a beautiful piece. It's written, it's very unusually written. The cello has a very prominent role. She's got the melody much of the time. And he writes very, very high, which is sometimes inconvenient for us because it's quite hard to play in tune together and make the sound beautiful. But it's quite a fetching sound to the ear. I think it's really interesting and beautiful.
I've got to ask you about this beautiful title, Night Songs for a Desert Flower, how that translates into what the piece evokes.
That's probably better for him to answer than for us, okay. But I know the piece is dedicated to his wife, who I believe is the desert flower.
Yes. I mean, I think he has a history of having very evocative, colorful titles, and this certainly fits in that tradition for him. And it's nice that it conjures up whatever images it does for various people, because I think the music is very descriptive and very imaginative. And here, too, I think you can tell there's something very personal, very imaginative, and there's a dramatic trajectory that goes through the piece that you can follow. And because it's not specified exactly what it means you can graft it onto your own experience, which is a really wonderful way of experiencing music, I think.
And he's called it, at heart, a book of madrigals, in a way, for string quartet. So influenced by early vocal music, or this idea of translating vocal music onto four strings?
I think that you can see it that way. I think it also has to do with the tradition of madrigals being text painting and the idea of illuminating certain words and certain images with musical motifs. And there are motifs that continue even from movement to movement sometimes. So you feel this development and this sort of painting of those ideas as the music goes on.
Well, thank you so much for coming back to Houston and for doing what sounds like a very expressive, personal, beautiful program here.
Thanks.
With Houston Friends of Chamber Music. Mark Steinberg and Serena Cannon, have a great concert tonight, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Liu spoke with the first and second violinists of the Brentano String Quartet. Tonight at 8 o'clock in Rice University's Studi Concert Hall, the Brentanos perform Night Songs for a Desert Flower by American composer Stephen Hartke, Robert Schumann's String Quartet No. 2, and with Shepherd School of Music violist James Dunham, the second string quintet by Felix Mendelssohn. The recital is presented by the Houston Friends of Chamber Music. Tickets will be available at the door. You can also reserve seats now by calling 713-348-5400, or by logging onto the Houston Friends of Chamber Music website, and you'll find the link to that at our website, kuhf.org/thefrontrow.